righty, guys. Oh, look, we are going to dive right into it here. It is Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. It is verdict watch day one, and we have got people live on the ground outside of the courthouse for the Donald Trump trial, the trial of the century. Let's be honest here. The last one was O.J. Simpson. This one is Donald Trump. What will come out of it live on the ground? We've got our friend Mark Norton. Mark, how's it going?
It's going well, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what's the vibe down there? Obviously, you're outside of the courthouse. People are on the move. There are protesters on our side, on their side. What's going on down there?
At this point, Kevin, it's wait and see, right? We've entered the completely boring part. A couple little pop-up debates and, you know, conversations between both sides of the protesters. But I tell you, at this time, that the numbers are very, very low. Low in quantity, but not in quality. You have Scott Lobato. You have
Dion Cini.
What is Tina Forte? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I couldn't believe
you
it.
Go.
Tina Forte. Thanks.
Tina's going to get mad at us both, so it's okay.
And of course, John Gaze for Trump. They're all here, big people, tons of them. But as far as the general populace, the crowd, very low.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure as the jury deliberates longer and longer, the crowds will be continuing to grow. Are there any counter protesters down there?
Very, very few. So as few as the Trump protesters there are, it's probably 10-1 Trump to hand some Trump on the ground. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as I look over my shoulder, it is completely void of any. There's zero to be found. I found one about 20 minutes ago with essentially printer paper, locked them up. That's all I've seen tonight.
Printer paper. Well, it's good to know no one's paying. It's good to know nobody's paying the ones that are down there. If they're
not the legal size either, Kevin.
Not even the legal size. So we're hearing from inside the courtroom that Judge Marchand is basically deciding to blow up the entirety of the concept of a jury trial, saying that they do not need to reach a unanimous verdict on each one of the counts in order to find the totality of the unanimous verdict. Can you comment on that?
So it's interesting. I'm not an attorney, but you have one up there, Paul Ingracia. And I say this as good of an attorney is, he may really be a great reporter. He's up there, he's tweeting about it, those charges. And as he tweets about this, the more bizarre I find, to me, not an attorney, but if I were on that jury, it seems like the way it's presented, and it may be an issue of legal consideration here, how you could have several different charges that each juror can find guilt in one and not the other, but we're going to include them all together. It seems like an odd equation that's being presented. And I do wonder with that jury how they feel about the same thing.
You know, it's terrifying. We saw a reporter in the New York Times just yesterday talking about how if there are any one juror who holds out, we're going to talk about this later in the show, if there's any one juror who holds out and makes this a hung jury, he is going to get the Steve Bartman treatment, which is a wild statement because that guy faced death threats. He was run out of Chicago. We're going to go over that later in the show as well. But it is terrifying to see that so many people are willing to blow up the entire premise, the entire idea of trial by jury in order to get Trump.
Problematic because if you think you're
yes, it's this one's unique as far as, and I've been trying to put this into a better presentation, but here I thought it's lock them up, Trump's a criminal. You heard that for years, and for years and years I would ask people, what crime did you commit? And until these indictments, this essentially lawfare across the federal and multiple states and everything like that, jurisdictions, until that happened and they were laying out indictments, the people who were shouting lock them up couldn't say before. Now they have something to say for, but it's being explained for hours, to a jury currently. So I wonder if the people who use political poetry and just sort of posture and just sort of talk publicly, if we do see a conviction, if any of them will walk that back, if any of them will take those words, if any of them feel guilty, and maybe potentially vote for president to get him out of prison. I just wonder that. It's just talking to too many people.
Absolutely. And, you know, you ask the general population, you ask the regular people on the street, most of them either can't tell you what he did or don't really care. And to me, this seems like the general growing consensus. The more they prosecute him, the more popular he becomes. And in order to keep him off the campaign trail, to stop him from being able to run for president, that just seems to me what this is. And that's exactly what a lot of people thought yesterday was, when the prosecution took like 8 hours for their closing argument just to tire out the jury, just so they could go home and watch MSNBC or CNN or whatever their podcasts were. I mean, they kept them there until like 7 o'clock last night.
It's like weird. Yeah, that's wild. Talking to a lot of attorneys, they talk about that sort of being like a serious record, 7 hours. And a lot of them, they say, they've done complex criminal trials, RICO trials, and none of them on anything closing of 6 to 7 hours in complex issues. And this one apparently is not nearly as complicated, at least.
You know, it seems like everything in this trial has been backwards. You know, the O.J. Simpson trial, the jury selection took months. Casey Anthony took months. Scott Peterson took months. They did Trump's in about a week. Now we've got summation taking days, where normally the closing arguments happen maybe in an hour, maybe two at two tops. Everything, and not to mention the jury instructions coming from Judge Marchand, are that you do not need to all agree that he committed a crime. So essentially, the way it's going to go today is 4 people can find him guilty of one crime, 4 people can find him guilty of another crime, 4 people can find him guilty of a third crime, therefore he's found guilty on all of them. Also, Judge Marchand has told the jury that he and he alone will handle the sentencing about this. Is there any stir outside about what might happen, whether with the press or whether with the protesters, about what may happen if Trump is remanded to custody? Because that is an entirely real possibility.
That has not been a conversation that I've heard at all. This is sort of my impression. Talking about the press has been here for a few weeks, right? And they're sort of comfortable. They're doing their regular routine. I could see them scrolling. I could see them writing. I could see them preparing. Ready to go before the camera. And the protesters are doing the same thing they've been doing for weeks. They get a large group of them. They get some press around them. They'll make their visuals. They'll make their statements. And back off. Get a cigarette. Whatever. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, no. This is oddly become a normal day. Different about this normal day, is we know what's coming. We know something is coming. Verdict is coming. I'm gonna start preparing. Start to pack some lunch inside the bag. It could happen.
As I said, we are on verdict watch. There is no timetable. This could go on for an hour. This could go on for weeks. We really will not know. Once again, Mark Norton on the ground covering the Trump case in Lower Manhattan. Mark, if you see anybody, do you want to throw them on? You see Tina or anybody, friends of the show, DBS, just grab them and bring them on. But something else I've been curious about, and I know you host a Twitter space every Tuesday talking about the trials with multiple different attorneys and everything else, is that you say this is becoming more normal, that it's becoming just a run-of-the-mill thing. And I think that, as I said before, is how the public feels. I think they're worn out. I think most people can't tell the difference between one trial to the next. They don't know Fannie Willis. They don't know Jack Smith. Is it Jack Smith? Is that in New York? People have no idea, and it seems to me a lot of people are starting to get exhausted of this sort of lawfare.
Yes, I think that's going to change. Get a result. Mm-hmm. I think you're correct. And I think that's my observation here on the ground. But there's going to be a point when the situation changes, and that's going to be with a verdict. So, the norm and part of the course, unfortunately, a new norm, this president on trial, mm-hmm. multiple cases. And but it will change. It will change back.
So how do you think this goes? What is the Mark Norton prediction on timetable, on verdict? What do you think happens after this?
I think that, let's see what time is. So I think if they get this, if the jury is charged, which they may be charged already while we're on here, if they're charged, I think it will be a quick verdict. If he's guilty, I think if he's guilty, it's going to be a quick one. But I think that if we do see a holdout, it will be a long holdout, and then we'll probably end up with a mistrial. So I don't think we're going to get a not guilty, and I'm just going by venue, probability, presentation, the publicity of this, the campaign to get Trump, right? So I'm going to have to say that I think I don't see an acquittal. Of course, I'm not in there, but I don't see that. I think a swift verdict's a guilty, and I think that any delay in a verdict, we could really could see that just fine.
Oh yeah, that's what I've been saying for quite some time. There, look, as negative as people are thinking about this New York trial, New York judge, New York jury, as negative as people have been talking about this, for me, I think, you know what, with 12 people on this, there's one person that just puts their feet up and goes, you know what, I'll sit here till Labor Day. I'll sit here until Christmas. How long are you guys willing to sit here for? Because I got nothing to lose. And to me, that seems to be the most hopeful scenario for the former president.
Yes, that definitely could happen. And I think there's a lot to do about two of the jurors being attorneys. And it's uncommon to have an attorney sit on a jury, but it's not unheard of. It does happen. Occasionally, you can see police officers. But, you know, this, you're not picking, this is where it gets weird. This is a very unique place in America, Manhattan. And if you have an attorney that works here, they are not Ivy League. They are not some non-powerful or up-and-coming rising star. I don't know their ages. But these are not regular run-of-the-mill. These are high power, high price. So I don't know. I don't know how that'll play. Will they end up doing the I know best, I know better? Or will they fall back on their oath and say, you know what, this case, this doesn't meet legal standards. I don't like, orange man, but, I'm sworn, both as an attorney and now a juror. And so we'll have to see. I don't know how that'll factor.
All righty. Once again, Mark Norton, thank you so much for reporting live from the ground. Shoot me a line if anything breaks during the show, and we will bring you back on. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kevin.
That is Mark Norton live on the ground outside of the courthouse. We'll be right back.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets, sleepwear.
Whoa, Charles. Everyone now can get MyPillow products at huge discounts at MyPillow.com. That's right. Now's the time to go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our 3-in-1 sale. We're bringing you exciting new products, overstock specials, and closeout deals you won't find anywhere else. For example, when you buy one of our brand new MyPillow 2.0s, you get another one absolutely free. And with our overstock sale, you save 50% on our luxurious Giza Dream bed sheets. That's as low as $29.99 for the best sheets ever. And with our biggest closeout special, you get our all-season slippers for only $35. Or our sandals and slides for just $25. Quantities are limited, and once they're gone, they're gone.
Guys, head on over to MyPillow.com, promo code LOUD. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code LOUD for up to 80% off everything on the website. That's MyPillow.com. Promo code LOUD. I want to thank Mark Norton for live on the ground outside of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan as we are on jury watch, baby, verdict watch, day one. What will all come of that? Obviously, we have seen an unprecedented amount of lawfare go on over the last couple of days. But, you know, it's all over now but the crying, as they say. Now we are waiting to see what the verdict is going to be. Moreover, we've seen an unprecedented amount of unusual legal actions taken by Judge Marchand in this case, most notably, as I spoke about with Mark, is that the jury does not need to find Donald Trump guilty on all counts in order to reach a unanimous verdict. We all have this idea in our head of law and order, and you get, you know, I mean, law and order as in the TV show. You see the jury sitting over there. All 12 of them got to come to the same opinion. That's guilty. If they don't, it's not guilty. A jury of your peers. However, that is not the case now. That is not the case. Judge Marchand has instructed the jury that if four jurors find him guilty of one, another four find him guilty of another, and another four guilty find him guilty of another one, that can be considered a unanimous verdict. This is some of the most imagine, in the history of English common law, Judge Marchand has decided that none of that works. None of that works. And we're just going to change up the entire script. We're going to rewrite the entire script just in order to get Trump. Just in order to get Trump. Here was President Trump speaking outside of the courthouse just a little while ago.
I need to feel about the jury.
Thank you very much. I would say, in listening to the charges from the judge, who's, as you know, very conflicted and corrupt, because of the confliction, very, very corrupt. Mother Teresa could not beat these charges. These charges are rigged. The whole thing is rigged. The whole country's a mess between the borders and fake elections, and you have a trial like this where the judge is so conflicted he can't breathe. He's got to do his job, and it's not for me, that I can tell you. It's a disgrace, and I mean that. Mother Teresa could not beat those charges, but we'll see. We'll see how we do. It's a very disgraceful situation. Every single legal scholar and expert said this is no case. It shouldn't be brought, and it certainly could have been brought 7 years ago, not in the middle of a presidential election. It was all done by Joe Biden. This judge contributed to Joe Biden, and far worse than that, but I'm not allowed to talk about it because I have a gag order. Far worse than that, by 1,000 times worse than that. The worst I've ever heard, but I can't talk about it. It'll be talked about, but I'm not allowed to talk about it. But it'll be talked about in the history books. What's happening here is weaponization at a level that nobody's seen before, ever. And it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So I'll stay around here. This is 5 weeks. And 5 weeks of really essentially not campaigning, although I took a big lead in the polls over the last few weeks.
So President Trump spoke for about 5 minutes outside of the courthouse. Mother Teresa herself could not beat these charges, and he's not wrong. When you have a judge basically changing up the entire concept of a judicial process of how juries come to their verdicts, basically making things up as they go along, we have now regressed in our legal system. We used to be the envy of the world. Now we have one judge in one city, in one state in the United States, who has upended the entire thing. But they're not the only ones to do that. Many people in the media, some people in the media, which we're going to show in just a moment, some people in the media have come to the reality that this is complete and utter nonsense. Some people in the media are issuing veiled threats against many of the jurors. One New York Times reporter, Kenneth Vogel, put up a tweet that was insane. That was absolutely insane, saying that if there were any jurors who held out to make this a hung jury, they would, quote, get the Steve Bartman treatment on steroids. For those of you who don't remember who Steve Bartman was, it's hard to believe this was 21 years ago at this point. Steve Bartman was just some guy at a Chicago Cubs game who interfered with a foul ball that was going to be caught by Moises Alou. The Cubs then later on went on to give up 8 runs, get knocked out of the playoffs, continue their losing streak of more than 100 seasons without a World Series. This was as close as they ever came. This would have ended the inning and stopped the 8 runs from scoring. Well, Steve Bartman basically had to watch the rest of the game with security around him while fans pelted him with full beer bottles, throwing food at the guy. He was later run out of Chicago with multiple death threats. He couldn't leave his house. No one even knows where this guy is. He had to go. He basically had to go into what would otherwise be considered the witness protection program just to begin to have a life. So Kenneth Vogel over at the New York Times is letting anybody know on the jury, if they want to stand up for what we all know ought happen, stand up for what we know to be true, and find Donald Trump not guilty of this, they will face the same sort of repercussions as Steve Bartman, a man who was beaten in the streets. That's a New York Times reporter. Some people, on the other hand, are starting to face reality, are starting to understand that all of this may not be the slam dunk it should be. Before we get to all that, I want to say hello to everybody. How's everybody doing today? Make sure you guys are hitting that thumbs up button. Share this video out all over the place. How is it going? Patty Vest, how are you? Dina, are you ready for tonight? Dina, you ready for tonight? Hazel Kitty, how's it going? Lauren, what's happening? What's happening? I hope everybody's having a good day today as we are once again, as I said, verdict watch. Verdict watch as we are awaiting updates. Look, so far as the jury is concerned at this point, it is always going to be pure speculation until we get the verdict. Nobody knows what's happening in that jury room right now. It could be an hour. It could be a day. It could be a week. We don't really know. We don't really know how long it's going to go on for, but it's not having a good day. I'm effing pissed. I understand that. Put Trump on show. Don't be scared. I don't know what that means. Are you saying I should have Trump on the show? Yeah, I would love that. So now the jurors are going to be threatened. What's going on now with that? Yeah, the jurors are being threatened. And look, they haven't been sequestered. We live in a time, look, even if the jurors were sequestered, which I believe they absolutely should have been, we now live in a time where everyone's going to know who they are. I mean, it's not shocking. You know, with social media and the internet sleuths that are out there, we're going to know exactly who these jurors are. I'm sure there are many people right now who already know who they are and are waiting for the verdict to drop. JBG Boxes. Sean and Kevin are my favorites. Oh, thank you. You're my favorite. Well, Masshole Patriot, that's my favorite currently, if I'm being fair. Let's dive back into the news, because some people are beginning to admit that maybe, just maybe, all is not rosy in this case. Even the CNN analysts, so if the jury did go home last night and popped on CNN, perhaps they saw this.
Andy, what Michael's getting at is the burden of proof is an important one to remind everyone. It's on the prosecution, right? They need to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Donald Trump broke the law. And you think, after listening to all of this, you think they fell short. How?
They fell way short, because let's start with reasonable doubt. What is reasonable doubt? And it's not simply a doubt based upon reason. Anytime a human being needs to make an important decision in life, if you have enough information, for example, doctor says you need open heart surgery. Doc, go ahead and schedule. I don't have a reasonable doubt. Conversely, if I say, I appreciate it, but I need a second opinion, I need more information, that is having a reasonable doubt. There is reasonable doubt all over this case. Where is Keith Schiller? Where is Alan Weisselberg? How did Michael Cohen get away with stealing $30,000? Hold a pity party for him. Made $4 million on this. Thought he'd be chief of staff. He's a fixer. If the plumber comes to my house to fix my leak,
I could be home. That doesn't mean I know how he's doing it and what it's taking to be fixed. Stormy Daniels, let's hold a pity party for her. Why do we need to know whether or not the former president wore a condom or not? It's simply about, did the former president know that books, his records, false entries for legal fees? Michael Cohen was his lawyer. Did he intend to cover up the election or to protect his family? It's everywhere.
When Randy gets to whisper tones, I start getting concerned.
Well, I can tell you one thing. That guy's probably out of a job. I can tell you one thing. That guy's not going to be getting his own show on CNN anytime soon. But he lays out the problems of the case perfectly. Who cares about the Stormy Daniels testimony? This is not about whether or not the event in question did or did not happen. Once again, as I've said numerous times, as I'll continue to say, I don't care. I don't care at all whether it happened or it didn't happen. I don't care about somebody's affair, whether it did or didn't happen 20 years ago. I absolutely don't. This is a case about bookkeeping, not about whether or not the president of the United States wore a condom. Your chief witness, your best witness, is a known perjurer. As Matt Gaetz said, he's lied to everyone in America. He's lied to Congress. He's lied to grand juries. He's lied in this case. He lied to the former president. But now we should believe him? Now we ought to believe what he's got to say? I say no thank you. There's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way this is going to work. They, as a matter of fact, the prosecution in this case didn't even call the people who would have known. They didn't call Alan Weisselberger. They didn't call the majority of the people that would have actually had the information on whether or not this happened. And like that CNN analyst said, when the plumber comes over to fix a leak in my house, I don't really know how he did it. All I know is that he did it. I don't know what he's doing in there. And that's exactly what Michael Cohen did. It's exactly what Michael Cohen did. And we've got to sit back and pretend. We've got to sit back and pretend this is not only normal, but that this is business as usual. That this is, I guess this is the new normal now. Because whatever this case ends up being, this is going to be a legal tactic used in the future by nefarious actors in the courts. It's going to happen. As we get more and more divided as a nation, as we get more and more separated. You know, the left loves to talk about how the Supreme Court used to be the last bastion for us. And many people, and I've said this to a large number of people, you want to find out how unfair the court system is in this country? You don't have to be black. You don't have to be Hispanic. You just have to be poor. And that's something we all sort of understood. You know, it wasn't fair, but if you were rich enough, you could buy your way out of a lot of things. Now the legal system is even being weaponized against powerful people. They want to say there's a two-tiered system of justice, but there isn't. There's a 100-tier system of justice based on who the defendant is, and that is the exact opposite of what our legal system, the exact opposite of what our legal system was meant to be. And it's a crying shame because it didn't have to be this way. It did not have to be this way. Oh, what do we got here? Patty Vest sending you my birthday money, and I am pissed off. Well, happy birthday. I hope I am enlightening your day and not pissing you off further. That's what I'm hoping for. I hope that's what I'm doing. Guys, hit that thumbs up button. We got 1,200 people watching. Let's keep on rocking and rolling here. Guys, I want to apologize. The last couple days we had some tech issues here, but that seems to all be fixed due to the power and amazingness of producer Frankie, who without no things would be possible on the planet. So big shout out to producer Frankie for fixing my my issues here. Thank you so much for that, Frankie. Before we move on to the next couple of stories, because obviously there's still news happening, despite the fact that we are waiting for the jury. Guys, I want to talk to you about my friends over at AmmoSquared.com. That's AmmoSquared.com/LFA. AmmoSquared was started in 2015. by husband and wife team Dan and Danielle Morton. They are a pro-2A, pro-America, pro-personal freedom, and of course, pro-Trump company. Look, guys, Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition automatically. Your ammo grows slowly over time and is stored for free while it builds up. It is shipped whenever you want it in just 1 to 2 business days. Ammo Squared was started in 2015 and has over 30,000 loyal customers all across the country. It is truly the only automated set-it-and-forget-it way to do ammo purchasing. Just pick your caliber, set your budget, and select your shipping trigger, and that's it. Ammo builds up over time and is delivered automatically when you want it. It is a very budget-friendly way to build up a stockpile of ammo. It's customizable, guys. You can buy as much as you want or as little as you want, whatever works for you. Just like an ammo 401k or an ammo savings account, set it up and have the ammo for a rainy day when store shelves go empty, like we saw in 2015 and 2020. But in 2020, when store shelves went empty, you know who got their ammo? AmmoSquared.com customers. So guys, go to AmmoSquared.com/LFA and find a unique way to invest in ammo. Guys, go to AmmoSquared.com/LFA. That's AmmoSquared.com/LFA. We are going to keep moving and grooving here. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? Guys, hit the thumbs up button. Let's see if we can get to 350 by the end of the day. Naturally, we've got to give you guys... I'm sorry. There was one more thing I wanted to show you before we moved away from the court case for a moment. Scotty Lebedo, the king of Staten Island, was down at the courthouse today, and as always, he was revealing his newest portrait. Look, we showed you guys on the show Scott speed painting the other day, and it was absolutely incredible. He's a phenomenal artist. That's one of those talents I wish I had, but I don't. I wish I could draw. I can't. I wish I could sing. That's not going to happen, so just take that out of your minds real quick. But Scott Lebedo, absolutely unbelievable. Here was Scott Lebedo outside of the courthouse revealing his new work over the last couple of days.
I said I'm filming for Scott, so I can't move.
In response to Robert De Niro's insanity speech yesterday, how this man said that Donald Trump and us are ruining democracy. Meanwhile, everything that's happening in that courtroom is exactly what he said yesterday, but for the other side. This is a travesty. This is unconstitutional. This is this is ruining democracy.
Yes, yes.
So in response to Mr. De Niro, I give you my latest masterpiece. Called Crybaby.
Go, Citizen Scott. Go, Citizen Scott.
Oh, hey, hey. Ho, ho, Robert De Niro has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho,
Robert De Niro has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Robert De Niro has got to go.
Hey, hey,
Jesus.
Roy Cotton at Tribeca Film Festival. Roy Cotton at Tribeca Film Festival.
Robert De Niro, yes.
He's the one, Scott. This is his art. That's his art. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, but he's blocking 50 photographers.
Well, it's... This is him. The only reason why... The only reason why...
It's not his art, it's him.
They're not going to say he was a great actor. They're going to say he was a fucking pussy.
Yep.
Yeah, there's nobody out there like Scott Lebedo. So congratulations on another fine work, Mr. Lebedo. We are proud to have you here in New York. So let's get to the news of the day because there's some wild stuff here. You guys remember when Joe Biden was going to build that pier in Gaza in order to give humanitarian aid to Gaza for some reason? I'm not really sure why. They're giving bombs to Israel to bomb Gaza, so they need humanitarian aid to stay alive from Israel. It's a nice circular thing. It's a way of America funding both sides of every war. Well, it turns out the $125 million pier that they built off the coast of Gaza has sunk. It has floated away. It is no more. So I mean this genuinely. America would be better served to take 130, and was it 100, I think it was 125, $325 million, and just dumped it into the Mediterranean Sea, it would have done exactly as much as the pier in Gaza. New problems are mounting for the Biden administration's $320 million floating Gaza aid pier, which was already facing setbacks despite becoming operational less than 2 weeks ago. Which, General Lloyd Austin, I've got some questions. If America built a pier in Gaza, does that mean that America has troops on the ground in Gaza? Because if we have troops on the ground in Gaza, we need to not do that. We need to take them and move them literally anywhere else. Anywhere else on the planet. Send them to Antarctica. Hell, American troops would be better served on the moon than they would be in Gaza. But that's neither here nor there. That's a different conversation for a different day. The U.S. military was forced to halt aid shipments to Gaza on Tuesday after the floating pier was damaged by bad weather over the weekend. The damage sustained from the bad weather is only the latest in the string of logistical and operational problems that have plagued the pier since its construction in mid-May. This from the Daily Caller. The J-Lots, J-L-O-T-S, pier was a horrible idea, said Michael DeMino, senior fellow at the Defense Priorities and former CIA and defense analyst, told the Daily Caller News, it's a horrible idea due to the challenges that we saw basically wreck the entire project. It was never a sound plan to begin with. Whether it's accidents or logistical hurdles or risk to our troops, all these problems that have come to fruition. I don't think there should be any effort to continue this or salvage it or fix it, DeMino said, pointing to safer, more efficient methods of delivering aid to Gaza. I think now is an opportunity to say this failed. Let's wrap this up before we continue to tempt fate. Getting aid into Gaza via J-Lot system requires several steps. First, the aid has to be delivered by vessels to the floating pier roughly 2 miles off the Gaza coast, where it is facilitated by U.S. officials. It is picked up by loading vessels and then transported back to a separate causeway pier attached to the shore of Gaza, then trucked by various aid groups to warehouses for distribution. Now, all of that has to happen without Hamas attacking it. I don't know. Look, I'm no foreign policy expert. I'm not going to pretend to have served overseas. I'm not going to pretend to know how to build a pier. However, this seemed like a bad idea from the start. I think if the Biden administration had just shaken a magic eight ball and come up with the answer on how to do this, it would have been better served than if they had run through this plan to begin with. So now we have dumped $120 million into the Mediterranean Sea, and we still don't have a solution. That is the government in a nutshell. And Democrats want me to pay more taxes? Maybe I wouldn't mind paying more taxes if I thought my money was actually going to something intelligent. However, we see things like this. $2,000 for a hammer, $30,000 for a toilet seat, $120 million for a pier in Gaza that doesn't float. All to give aid to a country that doesn't have the means to distribute it. Distribute? The means to hand it out. See, as I've said numerous times on this show, and many people seem to believe it's harsh, and, you know, okay, maybe it is a little harsh. To me, if you've got to give aid to a country, and I want to be clear, this is for every instance other than a natural disaster, okay? If a hurricane comes through, if a typhoon or a tsunami, like the one in Japan a couple years ago, natural disasters are different. But if your country has reached the point where you need humanitarian aid to be dropped into it, you probably don't have the infrastructure to get that humanitarian aid where it needs to go. And because of that, all the aid we bring over there is just going to be hijacked by the people who destabilized the country in the first place, which is what we saw in Mogadishu in Somalia in the 90s. Every single time we brought aid to that country, to try and support them against a famine that killed a huge number of people. No one is doubting that. But every time we brought aid in, it just got hijacked by some warlord. Then we had to send in the Rangers. The Army Rangers, not the Texas Rangers. We had to send in the Army Rangers. And then we got the Black Hawk Down incident. It turns out sending American troops into the Third World never has good outcomes. Never has good outcomes. But this is what America does. We are the piggy bank of the world, and then we are the problems for all the problems of the... We are the catalyst to all the problems of the world. So much so that we're even getting word now from many on the left, as we got with Nicaragua, as we got with Venezuela, as we got with numerous other countries around the world, that we actually backed the wrong people in Somalia. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna sit here and lend a hand so that 30 years later, a bunch of liberals can Monday morning quarterback every decision made by America. Let me get a sip real quick. How is everybody doing today? We are rocking. We are rolling. Almost 1,250 people watching. Hit that thumbs up button. Share the video out all over the place. Share it out, share it out, share it out. Giddy up. How is everybody doing in the live chat today? How's everybody doing in the live chat today? Boom. Let's move that over to where it's supposed to be. Let's move that over to where it's supposed to be. These nuts. What's going on? Meemaw Becky, how are you? Masshole Patriot. Best name in here, by far. What's going on? These people better preserve their documents. I'm not sure who we're talking about. We have a troll. Let him troll, baby. Let it bring. Come on. Come on, troll, baby. Come around the mountain. You want to see the new t-shirt? I decided to unveil this today. I decided to unveil the Godfather t-shirt today since we are on jury watch. So if you guys want to pick this up, you can go to loudmajorityusa.com. Sign up for our newsletter. Check out our shop. Giddy up. Let's go. You guys can use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. Promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. You can pick up the new Godfather t-shirt. Giddy on up. Let's go. Who's loving it? Who is loving this glorious bit right here? Oh, my God. Bring me one. Yes, Dina, I will bring you one later. I will bring you one later. Also, guys, on tomorrow's show, we've got a huge announcement. Some of you may think you know. Some of you may all. Well, actually, one of you definitely already knows. One of you definitely already knows. Big announcement for all of our New Yorkers in the chat, for all the Loud Majority members in the chat, for all the people that have been around since Sean and I came on this network 2 years ago. I want a big news coming up. You guys have been asking for it, and it's coming. Giddy up. Let's go. Kevin, you sound ridiculous anyway. It's God's plan, not yours. God puts every leader in a lead position. I never said he didn't. I never said he didn't. But boom, let's jump back into the news, because obviously we've got to dive into what obscene crime did an illegal immigrant commit today? Because, you know, those go around every single day. Well, it turns out Venezuelan gang members have been arrested over a Louisiana sex trafficking ring. So it turns out that these people are so pure, these people are so good, that it only took them a very short while to set up a sex trafficking ring in Louisiana. Not Chicago, not Texas where they're coming across, down on the bayou. Born on the bayou. This guy wasn't born on the bayou. Let's read into this story. Authorities in Louisiana have arrested a number of men believed to belong to the Tren de Aguara gang. Yep, not even close. In connection with the alleged sex trafficking operation involving illegal immigrants. The suspect, Albert Javier Herrera Machado. I'm not reading all their names. Three pieces of... have been apprehended by law enforcement at different stages of the investigation. The men are accused of having pimped out one of their victims, a young woman from Venezuela, for sex in order to pay off a debt after they helped her and her family into the United States. She and other victims helped identify their roles in the operation. So they're pimping out their own. They're pimping out their own. They come here. Ring, ring. They go back home. Yeah, we'll help you get into the United States. And then you can be our whores. And then we can pimp you out on the streets. According to the complaint reviewed by WAFB, the victim was recruited into the scheme by members of the gang when she was in Venezuela, then promised to handle everything for her and her family in exchange for $30,000, which she later learned she would have to pay off via prostitution. Upon arriving in the United States, she began doing sex work in Texas. After a while, she was offered help by investigators in Baton Rouge. However, she declined out of fear of the gang would hurt her family. In April, the gang flew her out to Louisiana's capital, where she was housed in an apartment with another female victim. One of the accused, Machado, was allegedly the middleman between the men and the victims, organizing sexual encounters between them, keeping track of how much debt was left to pay off, and ensuring they adhere to house rules. When the police executed a search warrant at the apartment and arrested Machado, he claimed he had been hired by a friend and that he was unaware of how serious the operation was. He is being held in state custody, though he may be transferred to federal custody in the near future. The other two were revealed by victims to be and those familiar with the matter to be the bitch and brains, respectively, of the American operation, and the latter allegedly oversaw up to 30 women in multiple states. They are both being held in federal custody. So it turns out these people aren't priests. They're not Boy Scouts. It turns out, as President Trump said earlier today, Venezuela is going out of their way to tout how low their crime rate is. You're right, because all your pimps and all your thugs and all your criminals and all your drug dealers are making their way through the cities of America. Hey, Venezuelan gang leaders who run sex trafficking operations in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, right next to LSU, you know, huge SEC school. How about you run a sex trafficking operation in this country and we put you to death? How about that one? How about we hang you by your toenails until you die? How about that? Bring back firing squads. Some people will say, Kevin, you're calling for violence against people who run sex trafficking operations, global sex trafficking operations. Okay. Sure. Got no problem there. But, of course, that's not the only one we've got to go over, because why would there only be one in a day? It turns out an illegal immigrant was arrested in Virginia and charged with abducting a girl from Louisiana, which we'll get to in 1 minute. Before we do that, guys, head on over to lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base, your mothership, your meeting spot, your batter's box for all things LFATV related. You guys can pick up your Armor of God t-shirts, your Can't Beat God hats, all the good LFATV merchandise to help support this network and everything we've got going on over here. While you guys are there, consider becoming a monthly donor over at lfatv.us. That's lfatv.us. That is your home base. Let me get a sip. 1,300 people watching. Giddy up, let's go. Giddy up, let's go. Boom, let me grab a sip. I am baffled. I am legit baffled. Out of all the illegals coming here, yep, they keep getting arrested. How's it, old dog? How we doing? Natalie, how are you? Shannon, how are you? How's everybody doing today? Dawn B. Lawson, how are you? Wendy McGroin, how are you? ZBM, how's Idaho doing in your hidden land of the beautiful up there in the Northwest? Masshole Patriot says, make public executions great again. Yeah, sure. Is the troll still here? I don't know. Is the troll still here? Hello, 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 everyone. It is so good to see you. Send to the deepest part of the ocean. Hey from Linda and shortly in Illinois. Well, hello, Linda and Shortly. How are you? Team Mitch, what's happening? What is going on? Let's dive into the other ridiculous story that's happening. Have you hit the thumbs up button yet? Why not? Hello? Hello, McFly? Let's dive back into it, because obviously there can't just be one. An illegal immigrant has been arrested in Virginia and charged with abducting a Louisiana girl. During their investigation, the officers determined that the female was from Louisiana and being held captive against her will in a vehicle by the assailant. Another lovely gentleman here. Let's pop his hideous face up onto the screen. Boom, boom, boom. Where is it? Bing. Bob, bing, boom. There it is, another lovely human being just here to make a better life for himself in America. Yeah, well, you're going to be making a better life for yourself in prison. An illegal immigrant has been arrested and charged with illegally abducting and assaulting an underage female in Virginia. I thought they were all good people. I thought they were just here looking for papayas and trying to work. I thought they were all Uber Eats drivers. Turns out, no, not so much. Police reported that the suspect was holding the victim against her will in the back of a car prior to the arrest. Around 4 a.m. on Wednesday, police responded to a call at the Love's Truck Shop in Covington, Virginia. According to a press release from the Allegheny County Sheriff's Office, the call came from a minor Hispanic female who was requesting assistance. Really? Deputies responded to the scene and located a dark gray four-door sedan. The adult male, along with an adult male identified as Diego Sosa Castro and a juvenile female who was identified as the complainant. During their investigation, the officers determined that the female was born in Louisiana and being held captive against her will in the vehicle by Castro. Now they're scooping up American citizens, too. Turns out these people aren't exactly the cream of the crop. Turns out they're not exactly the lovely people that we've been told that they are. Maybe, and look, I am not besmirching all immigrants who come here. So before Patriot Takes and Media Matters, Media Matters can't because they keep laying off staff. Ha ha ha. But before Patriot Takes or Right Wing Watch wants to take that out of context, just know that I'm not saying it's all of them. I'm just saying that maybe we should know their name before they get in here. I don't know. Run a background check, you know? Just, you know, ask a couple questions. How old are you? Have you ever been arrested? Do you intend to begin a sex trafficking operation in Baton Rouge, Louisiana? Basic questions like that. Do you have any plans of abducting underage girls? No. None of that. Castro was taken and then transported to the Allegheny Regional Jail. He was charged with abduction, taking indecent liberties with a minor, and assault and battery. An ICE detainer was also placed on Castro. The minor female was then taken to Lewis Gale Allegheny Hospital for evaluation and later released to Child Protective Services. Real nice. So not only are they selling their own into sex slavery, but now they're selling American citizens. And we're all just supposed to sit back and pretend none of this is happening. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. You got that right, and that's why we are going to be, in the words of Mike Crispy, too big to rig. But you know what? We're going to end the show on a bright note today. We're going to end the show on a bright note because a guy, admittedly, I've been a fan of for a long time. I liked him in The Parent Trap. I liked him in Great Balls of Fire where he played Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah. Big fan of this guy. He's going to be in the upcoming movie Reagan, the biopic about President Ronald Reagan. Dennis Quaid has come out and formally said, look, he's voting for the big guy, baby. He's voting for Donald Trump.
What do you think of Trump?
I think I'm going to vote for him.
Really?
Yeah, in the next election. Yes, I am.
Are you ready for the blowback?
Well, yeah.
Which inevitably comes
with
Trump.
Well, you know, I think in this election, everybody's got to, I think they're going to take a side or whatever, but it just seems to me, it just makes sense. I was ready not to vote for Trump until what I saw is more than politics. I see a weaponization of our justice system.
Yeah.
And a challenge to our Constitution, us as Americans, that I don't think we're going to have. And, you know, Trump is the most investigated person probably in the history of the world. And they haven't been able to really get him. People might call him an asshole, but he's my asshole.
That's the line, baby. People might call Trump an asshole, but you know what? He's our asshole. Guys, I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Shout out to Dennis Quaid. First off, I want to be clear. Regardless of this, I can't wait to see Reagan. The movie looks absolutely great. I don't get anything for that. I don't get anything for promoting that. I like biopics. I like Ronald Reagan. I like Dennis Quaid. Let's have some fun here. Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. Once again, you guys can pick up these new Godfather t-shirts over at loudmajorityusa.com. Use promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. That's promo code SPRING to get 30% off everything on the website. Guys, thank you all so much for tuning in. Matter of fact, coming up next, right here on this network. Until tomorrow, everybody, stay loud.